Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Peace, brother.
Yeah, there we go. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Israel. Grace and peace in Jesus, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Grace and peace, Prince. Grace and peace, Israelites. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Just want to say, man, so glad to have everybody back. Sunday night edition of the Sounds of Living Water. Listen, we got us a doozy. We got the Fellowship of the Spirit tonight with our brother Paul and brother Eric. And today, we're dealing with, what just happened? Ah, there it is. Today, we're dealing with the right spirit. The
with
right
brother
spirit.
Bob, baby. What? Brother Bob. Brother Bob.
Oh, it's Bob?
Yes, sir.
What? Oh, it's Bob tonight? Oh, well, praise God. Finally off the vacation.
Yes, sir. He's back. He's going to be reading for us tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought he was taking a sabbatical for a minute. But, okay, well, he's reading.
Not quite yet. Next week, baby. Baby.
Well, grace and peace, Israel. Grace and peace, Bob. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, look. Once again, forgive me, everybody. Tonight, we're going to just say welcome back to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight, you have the Fellowship of the Spirit. Every Sunday night, you got the Fellowship of the Spirit. And also, you got Bob Hurd of the Philadelphia Assemblies assisting Paul. So tonight, we're dealing with the right spirit. That's the lesson for tonight, the right spirit. The right spirit. And he says this, and the scripture is, it says Isaiah 65, we're going to pick it up there. It says, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more dance of infinite days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die at 100 years old, and a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit there of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are as the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not abhor, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, Amen. And a lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. The reading came from Isaiah 65:1-25. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and performing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Great scripture. Amen. So with all of that being said, we're going to turn this over to the main person that's bringing the scripture tonight, and that's our brother Paul. And we appreciate the scripture. Amen. We yield the mic.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Job. Hello, sisters and brothers. How are we all doing tonight? Praise God in Jesus' name for the opportunity to be here to rightly divide God's word. The title
Amen.
Of today's lesson, as Brother Job said, is The Right Spirit. And before we continue, let's say a little bit of a prayer and open up and invite our Heavenly Father and his beloved Son into this study. Oh, great God of Israel, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you place the right spirit upon us, Lord, that you open our eyes and ears and edify us as you see fit. Father, touch our hearts with your word. Let these scriptures speak to us, Lord, so that we might not only know but understand how it is that you would have us conduct ourselves in all things. Father God, for these and for all your blessings, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus, whom shall be glorified forever. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Brother Job started us off, and he read Isaiah 65, and he took us verses 1 through verse 25. And 17 through 25, we won't read it again, but that was the start of the lesson. And basically, the point of these scriptures, 17 through 25, but basically the whole chapter, that's the prize. That's what we have our eyes on, Isaiah 65. And when he gets down to 17 through 25, he's talking about the kingdom of our Messiah, of Christ Jesus, because we know that in verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. That tells us right there there's flesh and blood. There's flesh and blood in this earth. The Father's kingdom doesn't have flesh and blood. So this is talking about the kingdom of Jesus, his millennial reign. And that's what we have our eyes on, sisters and brothers. That's the prize that we have. So now, with that already being read, let's go now to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter.
Brother Paul?
Yes, sir.
Just for a quick reminder, please forgive me, man. I get so excited to get into the lesson, but I just want to remind everybody, please mute your lines. We don't want to mute the lines out. We want to keep the lines open that if anybody have a question or any comments, that their lines are, they're free to open it up and ask questions at any time. But being considerate of everyone that's listening, mute your line so that we don't hear your background so that everybody can hear the lesson. So I just wanted to put that out there, brother. Thank you.
Okay, are we good to go?
Amen.
Amen. Here we go then. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Remember, Isaiah 65, Brother Job read that chapter. That's the prize. That's what we're shooting for. That's what all this is. I did a lesson a little while ago called The World, the proving ground for our hearts, because that's exactly what this world is. This is where we practice that mind of Christ. This is where we practice those attributes. And hopefully, if we're really diligent, before too long, some of them temptations fall to the side, and we start taking on the attributes of our Messiah, that complete and utter 100% absolute pure holiness and righteousness, because that's what we're shooting for. That's exactly what we're shooting for. Deuteronomy 10 now, and let's pick this up at verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Go ahead, brother.
And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Now, this is what the Lord thy God requires of physical Israel. Go ahead, brother.
To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
Uh-huh.
Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all therein.
Yes, sir.
Only the Lord hath a delight in thy father to love them, and he choose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day.
So what should they do? Go ahead.
Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked.
When you therefore shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's about faith. It's about obedience. Go ahead, brother.
For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, and mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward.
Amen.
He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment.
Uh-huh.
Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
So now the Lord is commanding Israel to keep that covenant that he made with the nation of Israel and with the strangers that sojourn with them. But now he's reiterating to Israel, to physical Israel, what's required of you is the one of the things is the way you treat the stranger. You need to treat him just like he was born, homeborn, just like he's one of you. Go ahead, brother.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave, and swear by his name. For he is thy praise,
uh-huh.
And he is thy God,
yes, sir.
That hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen.
Uh-huh.
Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for multitude.
So now when the Lord is making this covenant, he's telling them exactly how they need to treat everyone. He's talking about in the covenant, he tells them how to treat each other, to love your neighbor as yourself. He tells you how to treat your enemies. And he goes out of his way to tell Israel specifically what's required of them, how they're supposed to treat the stranger, just as one that's homeborn. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, and brother, we're going to start this off at verse 11. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
So now Paul's talking to the Gentiles, and he's saying, you know how Israel used to call you the uncircumcised, because the Gentiles were the uncircumcised. They didn't take habit of circumcising their males, but Israel at the time did, because they were keeping the commandments of God, and it was commanded of them to do it on the eighth day. Whereas today, it's almost the opposite. The Gentiles are out there, and they're circumcising, but they're not doing it for God. They're doing it for medical reasons. And Israel's not circumcising. Go ahead, brother.
That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
And there was a time when Israel didn't realize that this was for all nations, and they thought it was just for them. That's the great mystery that Paul reveals in his letters. Go ahead, brother.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ.
And it was at the time when Christ Jesus, our Messiah, our Passover sacrifice, our Passover lamb, when he suffered and died for the sins of the world and resurrected, that's when it was time for the world to make a push to try to bring in the strangers into the covenant also. That's when Israel was supposed to get on their job, be that kingdom of priests and that holy nation by their example to draw the other nations in and by their truthful teaching out of the scriptures. Go ahead, brother.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
But Israel didn't understand that, and it was when Christ Jesus suffered and died that he commissioned the disciples. First it started with Peter,
and what we see in Acts 10 and 11. And then it was with Paul. And Paul even basically quoted Romans 11 when he said that since you find yourselves unworthy, talking to Israel, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, and we're going to start teaching them. So it was when Christ Jesus suffered and died, when that middle wall or partition between Israel and the strangers was brought down, and two were made one. Go ahead, brother.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace.
Yes, sir.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
Yes, sir. That enmity thereby that he slain, it wasn't animal sacrifices or anything. That was the law of sin. When you sin, blood has to be shed. That's the law that he put to death on the cross. That is the main reason he came down here. Go ahead, brother.
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near.
Yes, sir.
For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father.
For through him we both, Israel, physical Israel, and the stranger, have access by one spirit unto the Father. One spirit. So now the Gentiles are brought into the covenant. But now let's go see what's required of them. Let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans 11. The Lord already told the nation of Israel how to act with the strangers. Now the Lord is going to make it very clear to the stranger. Listen, pal, you ain't nobody special either. Romans 11, and let's pick it up at verse 17, brother. 11 and 17. Go ahead.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
So now the Lord's having Paul explain to the Romans, and in the way that Paul does, and it's not that hard to see when you've got a little bit of understanding of the Scripture. He's saying that some of the branches were broken off. In other words, some of Israel didn't believe. So they were broken off from that olive tree. Or in other words, they didn't have a part in Christ Jesus. And we, as strangers, not physical Israel, we were grafted in. Paul's just trying to give an example. All he's basically saying is that this great and mighty God, the God of Israel, is the God of all people. And anyone that's heart is right that wants to serve him can. And once you take hold of that covenant, there's no difference in anybody. You're all one through and in Christ Jesus. That's all Paul's trying to say here. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root you.
But he's very cautious about warning the Gentiles, though. Yo, don't you be boasting against those natural branches. Don't boast against Israel, the natural Israel, even especially today, that they've been scattered throughout all nations. Don't boast against Israel. If it wasn't for you, this, that, and the other. No. The Lord says no. The Lord says there's a way that the stranger has to treat Israel. And it's the same way that Israel has to treat the stranger. Go ahead, brother.
Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in.
Uh-huh.
Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off.
Because of unbelief, they were broken off. They didn't believe that prophet like unto Moses. Go ahead, brother.
And thou standest by faith.
And thou standest by faith or by belief, because that's what faith is. Faith is just belief. Go ahead, brother.
Be not high-minded, but fear.
But you strangers better not be high-minded because you've brought into the true church, but you better fear. Seek your salvation with fear and with trembling. Go ahead, brother.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not you.
Yes, sir.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity.
On them which fell, severity, the natural branches that were broken off. Go ahead.
But toward you, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness.
But towards the stranger, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. God's not a respecter of persons. He'll graft you in and then throw you right out. Go ahead, brother.
Otherwise, thou also be cut off.
Yes, sir. One more.
And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
And they also, physical Israel, if they abide not still in unbelief, in other words, just like the prayer of Solomon, if wherever they're in captivity, if they turn to you with a willing heart and repent, they shall be grafted in again, for God is able to graft them in again. So the Lord is telling Israel how you need to act, and then he's telling the strangers how you need to act, and he's bringing it all together and saying you're the commonwealth of Israel. And when he says the commonwealth of Israel, he's talking about the commonwealth being God, and Israel being the only nation the Lord ever knew that was supposed to bring all the other nations in. Let's go to Palms. Yeah, come on, Paul. Let's go to Psalm, the 7th chapter. Psalm 7. We're going to take a quick detour here real quick. Sisters and brothers, I'm a little punchy tonight. And the reason why, I got to tell you, my tabernacle starts tomorrow at sundown. And we're going camping for 7 days, close in the area, and the weather's supposed to be phenomenal. And I haven't even looked at my tent yet. I plan on doing that in the morning. But our tabernacle starts tomorrow. So I'm just fired up about all kinds of stuff tonight. Psalm 7 and 1 verse. Verse 17, brother. 7 and 17. Go ahead.
I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness.
According to his righteousness. Amen.
And will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
And sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Why is that as saints we're supposed to be singing praise to him? Why is it as saints we pray that our works glorify him? Here's why. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10. Luke 10. Brother, let's start this off at verse 17. Luke 10 and 17. When you get there, go ahead, brother.
And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Yes, sir.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
So now the disciples, he sends out 70 disciples, and they come back, and they're telling a man, we're casting out demons and everything, and even the spirits are subject unto us through your name. And Jesus is going to tell them, don't be rejoicing because of that, but there's a reason you need to be rejoicing and praising the Father. Go ahead, brother.
Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
And when it says your names are written in heaven, that means that your names have made the book of life, sisters and brothers. And that's what we're striving to do, to get into that book and stay in that book. Let's go look at true love. Let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Because we're going to find out as we go along what that right spirit is. That right spirit, sisters and brothers, I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's love. It's love. That's that right spirit. 1 John 3, let's go look at true love. 1 John 3, and brother, let's pick this up at verse 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3 and 1.
Okay. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him.
We are known now as the sons of God. We are now the sons of God. We took hold of that covenant. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Go ahead, brother.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
And we're the sons of God now, but then when he returns and he appears, then we're going to get our change, and then we will be in the true manner the sons of God, because we won't only be in his likeness or his image, but will be of his kind at his return. Go ahead, brother.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure.
Now, it's Peter said it was written, be ye holy as I am holy. And anybody that has this hope that when our God returns, we're going to get our reward, he purifies himself, even as our Messiah and our Heavenly Father is pure.
Go ahead, brother.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
God's definition of sin, the breaking of his commandments. Go ahead, brother.
And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
And he became flesh and blood so that he could go ahead and take away the sins of the world. Because when Adam sinned, it brought death into the world. Because all things almost are purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Go ahead, brother.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Uh-huh.
Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him.
Yes, sir.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
And righteousness according to God is the keeping of the commandments. I'm preaching to the choir sometimes. Go ahead, brother.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Now we're going to read a verse about that manifestation. Go ahead, brother.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
And this is talking about born of God. This is talking about Jesus. He couldn't sin. He was God, born of God. He's in the God family. Go ahead, brother.
In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
So just like Jesus does not sin, he's the Holy One of Israel, he's incapable of sinning, that's what determines whether or not you're righteous or wicked, whether or not you're striving to be righteous like him. And we know that the perfect walk in this flesh, that you can fall short through ignorance or inadvertently slip and backslide, and then you still have a propitiation. You still have a go-between our Heavenly Father and us. You have that advocate, that high priest, Christ Jesus. But we also know if we sin presumptuously or purposely, having knowledge of the law and purposely going against it, there is no more sacrifice for sin. But sometimes, sisters and brothers, that can be a real fine dividing line in the resisting of temptation. So let's not go too crazy with this. The bottom line is, if you're righteous, you're of God, and if you're wicked, you're not. Go ahead, brother.
For this is the message that you heard from the beginning,
uh-huh,
that we should love one another.
Yes, sir.
Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother.
That wicked one, Satan. Go ahead.
And wherefore slew he him?
And why did he kill Cain? Go ahead.
Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Go ahead, brother.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Because we love the brethren. Go ahead, brother.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no more murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
It's all about love, sisters and brothers. That right spirit is the attributes of our Messiah, and it all starts with love. Let's look at the true family. Let's look at our true family. I had a brother. He's gone now. I got a sister. My mother and father are both deceased, but I had one. Let's look at our family. Let's go to Mark, the third chapter. Mark, the third chapter. Watch, sissy. The puppy over here is chasing herself here. Or not herself, but she's chasing something in the house. What a beautiful thing. Mark 3. Mark 3. And we're going to pick this up at verse 32, brother. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Mark 3 and 32. This is the true family according to our Messiah. Go ahead, brother.
And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seeking for thee.
So his mother and his brothers were over there looking for him, and this is what Jesus said. Go ahead.
And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren?
Uh-huh.
And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren.
Yes, sir.
For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother.
Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. But now here's where it gets a little touchy, sisters and brothers.
this isn't just talking about not setting up the tree, not doing an October 31st thing or them eggs in the middle of springtime. That's the easy stuff. All those little rituals that we don't do anymore that are associated with what we know as pagan days or worldly holidays. We don't deal with that stuff anymore. Okay? But that's easy to do. What the Lord is going to put us, going to charge us with, is the way we conduct ourselves on a daily basis in all our affairs. That's what the Lord is looking at. True love by the right spirit. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. The Lord is looking at those that keep his commandments as being your true family. Being your true family. Of course, we know we're not going to cast aside mother or father or sister or brother or whatever. John, could you please help us out here? We know that the Lord doesn't want us to forsake our natural born mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and all that. But what he wants us to do is he wants us to fellowship and take care of each other that is in the true church. Yes, you got time to go see mom and dad and all that, but the ones that we need to be paying special attention to are those that are running the race alongside of us. Those are the ones that we need to pay attention to taking care of. Those are the ones that we fellowship with. Those are the ones that if the phone rings at all hours of the night, that we're supposed to put aside what we're doing, if possible, and go help. Yeah, we help with mom and dad and all that, and old friends that are still in the world, they might call you. Yeah, if you got the opportunity, you go help them out. But the brethren, we're supposed to treat them like true family. We're supposed to treat them like our flesh and blood sister and brother. Like our flesh and blood mother and father. Like our flesh and blood sons and daughters. Because that's our true family, that true church. Your flesh and blood mother and father, sister and brother, son and daughter may turn on you. At the appointed time, the Lord says that your own foes will be those in your family turning on you. But the true brethren will never turn on you because they can do all things through Christ Jesus that not only strengthens them but lives inside them. 1 John 3 and verse 16, brother. 1 John 3 and 16. True love, sisters and brothers. Go ahead.
Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Paul says he dies daily. You don't think he's dying daily trying to keep the Christmas tree from nailing it down to his living room floor, do you? It's about the way he's treating and the way he deals with the brethren and with the sisters. Go ahead, brother.
But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
The thing that sets aside a servant of God from all those that call themselves Christians is a servant of God. You're going to be able to judge him by his work. You're going to see that he's not loving in word and in tongue, but he's loving in deed and in truth. Because all the rest of it don't mean nothing. If you're not doing what thus saith the Lord, you may as well do like one of my pastors said. You may as well eat, drink, and chase Mary because you got no part for the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 19.
Yes, sir.
And hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him.
Because if we're over there and we're not loving in just word and tongue, but we're loving in deed and in truth, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before our Heavenly Father. Go ahead, brother.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God.
Why if our heart condemn us or our heart not condemn us? Because we're under that new covenant, sisters and brothers, and his word, his standards are written in our hearts. And when we're striving to the best of our ability to walk perfect and to have that right spirit, that spirit of love and kindness and gentleness and sincerity, that spirit of caring, when we're sincerely striving to have that in our hearts, sisters and brothers,
and we start going against our conviction of living in love, we get convicted. We get guilty. That's called a conscience. That's called God's standards written in your heart and in your mind, all his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Go ahead, brother.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight.
Yes, sir.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
That we should believe. And if we believe, what do we become? We become obedient. Either that or we believe and say, skip it, I'm not going to do it, and then I'm not talking to you right now. Because you're not on the call. You're off running for your life somewhere, trying to hide from the wrath of the Lamb inside your heart. Because you come into the knowledge of the truth. I've seen people come into the knowledge of the truth, and I've watched them die a miserable death. And it wasn't that they were so drawn to the south side of Chicago and shot or something crazy. Their miserable death was between their ears, sisters and brothers, until finally the Lord just laid them down. I've seen people turn from this and not be able to hold an intelligent conversation again. And I've seen people that couldn't hold an intelligent conversation repent and turn to the Lord. And it's amazing the transformation that the Lord does with them. Where you at, brother?
Verse 24.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
By the Spirit which he hath given us. By that Spirit, that right Spirit, that one Spirit that comes from the Father. Not the Spirit that different people will twist and turn into hate and wrath and try to say that's all right with the Lord. Just because the Lord told Jeremiah one time, don't even pray for these people, he was talking about a specific set of Israelites. He wasn't talking about the Sunday Christian down the road in 2018. We got to get it right, sisters and brothers. And what we got to get right is that spirit in each other. And it starts with us putting that mirror up. Let's go to 1 John, the fourth chapter. 1 John 4. The love of God made perfect. 4 and 15, brother. Go ahead.
And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we...
1 John 4 and 15?
What I was reading? Oh, I guess I'm in 5.
That's okay.
Apologize.
That's okay. Hey, 5's good too. Go ahead, brother.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him.
Uh-huh.
And he is in God.
Yes, sir. You confess with your mouth. But what does Romans say? Romans, the 10th chapter. All those that are called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what John is saying here is absolutely true. But, of course, we as servants of God know that it's deeper than that, that you have to learn about this true and living God. But go ahead, brother.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
And if you don't dwell in love, you don't dwell in God, and God does not dwell in you. Go ahead, brother.
Herein
is our love made perfect. Go ahead.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Uh-huh.
Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes, sir.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
Now, sisters and brothers, this does not mean that we won't become afraid or that we won't sweat the bill that's due or the disconnect notice or whatever. But when it comes right down to it, servants of God, the Lord has taken fear out of their hearts. They don't fear things they used to fear before. Yeah, we got worries, but there's a difference between worry and fear. Because when you're a servant of the Most High God, the great God of Israel, the God of the creation, and you're striving to take on that mind of Christ, he can't have a servant that's running around in fear serving him. One of the first things he takes out is that. That fear is gone for most of those that truly take hold of this covenant. Now, some of them, it's a gradual learning process, growing in spirituality, growing spiritually, taking hold of everything. When you see a commandment and it's within your grasp to take hold of it, You take hold of it. You move on to the next one, the next one, the next one. Before you know it, you look back, and your fear is gone too. With some, it's sudden. With some, they have to walk the walk for a little while. But the one thing is constant. If you talk to anyone that is a servant of the Most High God and they're walking in sincerity and truth, their fear is gone. Go ahead, brother.
Because fear hath torment.
Uh-huh.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Go ahead.
We love him because he first loved us.
And we love him because he first loved us. There's no one walking the earth today that can say they went to the Father first. There's no one that walked the earth under the old covenant that could say that they loved the Father and went to the Father first. We have to be drawn by him. And when you take hold of that covenant, your sins are forgiven you. That's perfect love, because when we sinned, we should have died. We should have shed our own blood for our transgressions. But that's the grace, the opportunity to come into the knowledge of gaining your right back to the tree of life. Go ahead, brother.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
I've never heard anybody answer that question, and I've posed it a few times. Go ahead, brother.
And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also.
He who loves God loves his brother also. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, known as the love chapter. It's going to get quicker from here. We got a bunch of one-liners to end this lesson today, sisters and brothers. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. And, brother, we're just going to read this chapter. Start us off in verse 1. Go ahead.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
It's just a bunch of noise. Blah, 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 blah. Go ahead, brother.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
I've been sitting at some class and I've been reading the Bible for 20 years and I got understanding. I can tell you what needs to happen before Messiah returns. I can tell you the 70 weeks of Daniel, the 2300 days. I know it all, man. I've been in the Word 35 years. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. Go ahead, brother.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Profiteth me nothing means it's vanity. It sounds worse when you say it that way, doesn't it? It's vanity. It profiteth me nothing. It's the same thing. It doesn't get you anywhere. Go ahead, brother.
Charity suffereth long.
It's patient. Suffereth long is patience. Go ahead, brother.
And is kind.
It's kindness. Go ahead.
Charity envieth not.
It envieth not. It's generous. Generosity. Go ahead, brother.
Charity vanieth not itself, is not puffed up.
It's humility. There's no pride in love. Go ahead.
Doth not behave itself unseemingly.
There's courtesy involved with love. Go ahead.
Seeketh not her own.
It's not selfish. It's complete unselfishness. It's altruistic. Go ahead.
Is not easily provoked.
It's got a good temper. Go ahead.
Thinketh no evil.
Guilelessness. We're going to deal with guilelessness in a minute. Go ahead.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth.
In truth, it's sincere. It's got sincerity. These are all elements of love. And while I'm here, I got to tell you about a marvelous book you could find online. It's called The Greatest Thing in the World by Henry Drummond. When you put it into Microsoft Word, it's about 19 or 20 pages, depending on your font size, 11 or 12. And it's a breakdown of 1 Corinthians 13. You can find it online again. It's The Greatest Thing in the World by an old preacher in the 1800s known as Henry Drummond. Anyway, we're going to continue. Let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter.
Luke 2. We're going to read one verse, brother. Luke 2 and one verse. Verse 40, brother. Go ahead.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom.
Uh-huh. He waxed strong in what?
Spirit.
Strong in spirit. So the spirit, the right spirit, is strong. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10. He waxed, that was talking about Jesus. He waxed strong in spirit. The spirit of God, that right spirit, is strong, sisters and brothers. 1 Samuel 10. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 10. If I could ever find it and get there, we might proceed. 1 Samuel 10. And, brother, when you get there, we're going to pick this up at verse 6. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6. This is God's spirit. Go ahead, brother.
And the spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man.
Uh-huh.
And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee.
And when these things come upon you, that thou do as occasion serve you, for God is with you. And what does the Spirit of God do? It turns you into another man. The Spirit of God is strong, this right spirit. This right spirit will change you. It changes your heart, but it changes it in the right way. It makes you loving and kind and patient and tolerant and merciful. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's look real quick at a saint's way of life. 1 Thessalonians 5. And, brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. 5 and 19. When you get there, brother, go ahead and read it.
1 Thessalonians
5 and 19. Yes,
gotcha,
sir.
Brother. Okay, here we go. Quench not the spirit.
Quench not the spirit. Because we don't know if it's the right spirit yet. Go ahead, brother.
Despise not prophesying.
Uh-huh.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good.
So now we're not going to quench the spirit, but then when we prove all things, we're going to hold fast to that spirit that is good. Go ahead.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
And we're going to abstain from all appearance of evil, because once we proved all things, we now know what the right spirit is. Let's go to Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Because the right spirit comes from the Word of God, sisters and brothers. But then there's a way that we have to conduct ourselves, and that way is also the right spirit. But that way of conducting yourself comes from filling yourself with God's spirit or God's word. Colossians 2 and verse 16, brother, 2 and 16. Go ahead.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day.
Uh-huh.
Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
And don't let anybody judge you in the way you conduct yourself in the standards of God's covenant. Of course, what are we doing first? We're proving all things so that we can have that right spirit. And we know that right spirit comes from God's word, and we know that that right spirit fills us with love. It takes away all wrath and hate in your heart. It takes it all away. It takes away all fear. It takes away envy. It takes away all the things that are the spirit of the flesh or the fruits of the flesh. And it fills your heart with the fruits of the spirit. And that is the right spirit. Brother, what verse are you at?
18.
Go ahead and continue.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels,
uh-huh.
intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
In other words, don't go getting off into some false doctrine somewhere. You're supposed to be proving all things and holding fast to that which is good. Go ahead, brother.
And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Yes, sir. Let's continue. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter. I think I went one too many verses there, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with reading an extra verse or two if you got the time. Romans 14.
One line.
Romans 14. So we don't let anybody judge us in our walk. I go by full moon, new moon. Some brothers go conjunction. Some go sliver. As long as you're in season, don't trip. Romans 14, one verse, verse 5, brother.
One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Sisters and brothers, to have the right spirit, you got to be fully persuaded in your own heart. Because you've got to walk according to your faith. Not your pastors, not your elders, not your parents or your sister or brother or your son, your mother, father, whatever. You got to walk according to your faith, sisters and brothers. So you have to be fully persuaded in your own heart. When I first came into the Word, I was blind. I was keeping the feast days according, letting the classes figure it out. I didn't even know there was a calendar to figure out. I was just happy to be a part of the true church. They were keeping conjunction. Then as time went on, I started my own classes, started a few of them, started leaning towards sliver because I started seeing that light, that Lord calls us to light, not darkness. And then the more I investigate, I never even looked at full moon. And then when the Lord knew I was ready for that, he put that in front of me, and I found a scripture that backs up full moon. But I'm not letting anybody judge me. Every time I'm walking my walk, I'm persuaded in my own heart. As soon as I saw, I didn't even know how to figure it up with conjunction, I went in and dug into that. That's when I said it can't be conjunction. It's got to be light. But the point being, you've got to be fully persuaded in your own heart. That's your walk. That's how you walk in your faith. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10, and brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 23. 10 and 23. This is how you love your neighbor, sisters and brothers. Go ahead.
And he turned unto him, unto his disciples, and he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see.
Yes, sir.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
Everyone that called themselves a servant of God under the old covenant was waiting on Messiah. Go ahead, brother.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
They're always trying to tempt him, but how do you tempt the author and finisher of that book? Go ahead, brother.
And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
Every time they ask Jesus a question, he always takes it to the law. That should be serving us some notice there. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Go ahead, brother.
And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor is thyself.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.
That should have been the end of the conversation right there, but it wasn't. They're trying to trip up Jesus. Go ahead, brother.
But he, willingly to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves.
In other words, he got mugged and they left him for dead. Go ahead.
Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
Yes, sir.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
So now you got a descendant of Aaron, the high priest, and he sees it, and he just crosses the street and leaves this guy laying there, beat up and bloody, naked. Go ahead, brother.
And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
And then a Levite, who's supposed to be the one that has most of the understanding in the Word, because they're the teachers of the rest of the nation of Israel, and he crosses the street and goes the other way. Doesn't want to be bothered with this guy laying there half dead. Go ahead, brother.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
And a certain Samaritan, not an Israelite, didn't have any knowledge of the law, because at this time the law was for who? For Israel. Go ahead, brother.
And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sent him on his own breast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
He picked him up, put him up on a horse, dressed his wounds and everything. He's going to drop him off at a hospital or somewhere where he can get some type of nursing care. Go ahead.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
So he's paying out of his own pocket, and he's saying, man, if it's going to cost any more to get this guy healthy, when I come back through, I'll give you some more cake. Don't worry about it. Get this guy on his feet. Go ahead, brother.
Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
Him that showed mercy unto him. And Jesus said, Go and do likewise. Go and be merciful. Show mercy. Show mercy. Not only to the people in the Word or the guy you know next door that when your lawnmower runs out, he's got a tank of gas that'll give you. But how about to that stranger that you don't even know? Or as the Lord said, even your enemy. Those are the things that we need to have die daily. Those things that take our hearts and make them wicked before our God. Because the thought of helping an enemy, at first it's not appealing. But then when you realize what's at stake, you practice until you get to a point where you can help your enemy without any ought in your heart whatsoever. And it's just practicing to have that mind of Christ. Practicing to have the mind of Christ. Back in the day, the Bulls didn't win three championships in a row just running their mouth. They had to go out there and they had to practice to become as perfect as they could. It's the same thing with this race that we're running, sisters and brothers. We got to die daily, and we got to practice until we succeed in taking on those elements of the mind of Christ. Let's go to Psalm, the 32nd chapter. Psalm 32. And we don't have much longer at all, sisters and brothers. Psalm 32, and one verse, brother, verse 2. Go ahead.
Blessed is the man into whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Let's go to John, the 13th chapter. Jesus saw the one brother, and he said, An Israelite indeed, in whose mouth there is no guile. John 13. And, brother, pick it up at verse 12. 13 and 12. Go ahead.
So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am.
Now, Jesus washed their feet. This is the Passover. And some think that because of what Jesus is saying here, you should wash feet at the Passover. I've been to Passover celebrations where we wash feet. I've been to them where we don't. But that's not the point, I don't believe, that Jesus is making here. Go ahead, brother.
If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Not only with the washing of the feet, but the way Jesus conducted himself. The way he conducted himself with the brethren. The way he conducted himself with his neighbor. With his enemies. Just the way he conducted himself in general. He gave us an example of how to walk. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Now remember, Jesus walked with his disciples for 3.5 years, and he always spoke to them in parables. Don't go running around back to your congregations or whatever saying, Brother Paul said, you don't have to wash feet on the Passover. I'm not saying you do or you don't.
Right.
I've had some awesome Passovers washing feet, and some Passovers where we never broke out a feet washing tub. I don't believe that's the point Jesus was making. He's saying, follow my example in all things. 1 Peter 2, and let's pick it up at 21, brother. 2 and 21. Go ahead.
For even hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. In other words, act like he acted. Go ahead, brother.
Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. That's an example. We read that in the Psalms. Blessed is the man who has no guile in him. Go ahead, brother.
Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again.
Uh-huh.
When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Man, we just hear, hey, man, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard so-and-so, such-and-such, such-and-such about you. Man, we just hear something like that. Man, we're sitting there for days, can't wait to get a hold of so-and-so to find out if he's talking about you. And our Messiah, the way he was beat, the way he was ridiculed and persecuted, this brother was, for all intent and purposes, dead on the way to getting hung on the cross. They had to find someone else to carry the cross for him. And we're going to take a little sticks and stones, may break our bones, but names will never hurt me. Oh, the heck they won't. Those names will tear you up, sisters and brothers. That's suffering that persecution. But we're not supposed to have that guile in us. We're supposed to be guileless, just like our Messiah. We are supposed to have that right spirit, that spirit of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, with love and patience and tolerance and humility, guarding your hearts against pride and wickedness creeping in. Did you finish that, brother?
No, sir. One more verse.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree,
uh-huh,
that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness.
Yes, sir.
By whose stripes ye were healed.
By whose stripes ye were healed, because we forget all too soon, sisters and brothers, that we were bought with a price. Let's go to 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. And verse 1, brother, go ahead.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Yes, sir.
And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
He didn't die just for the true church. He died for everyone. But the only ones that are going to be saved are those of the true church that endure until the end. Unless he finds mercy, and he finds it within his heart for whatever reason, to save others. Go ahead, brother.
And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Yes, sir.
He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
That's part of that, begone, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You profess with your mouth, but that was it. Go ahead, brother.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
The love of God perfected. Didn't we read that before? Go ahead, brother.
Hereby know we that we are in him.
Uh-huh.
He that saith he abideth in him ought him himself also to walk even as he walked.
And he that says he abides in him ought to also walk even as he walks. Let's go just clarify that one more time. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter. See how Jesus walks. John 14. Because we know he was the Holy One of Israel and perfect according to the law. John 14, one verse, brother, verse 15.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
The very ones that he keeps, or that he kept, and for all intent and purposes is keeping still. Seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come down to take back his kingdom. Let's end this with a couple quick scriptures. First, let's go to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Ezekiel 33. And then we have just one more place. 33, and brother, one verse. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. 33 and 7. Go ahead.
So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them forth from me.
You shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. This is the Lord talking to the watchman. Sisters and brothers, I am a watchman today, but I'm not a watchman in the sense of the watchman in Ezekiel 33. I am more a teacher and a Bible instructor. But the Lord still commands me to warn the people from him. Without the right spirit, it doesn't matter what class you're in, what kind of t-shirts you wear. None of that matters. How much you feed the poor, how many clothing giveaways you have, how many feast days you keep it, Sabbath days you keep it, everything else. You could keep the law perfect from now until the day you die. And if you do it with the wrong spirit, you have no shot at salvation. That right spirit, sisters and brothers, make no mistake about it. It's in Matthew 5 when he's running down, blessed is the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers and all that. It's when the Lord told Moses his name, that he was long-suffering and merciful. It's all his attributes that we know he possesses. That love. That's the right spirit, sisters and brothers. Last place, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I believe I'm right around an hour, maybe a little over. 1 Thessalonians 5, and brother, let's pick this up at verse 15 and bring this lesson home.
See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
That's a warning coming from me to you. I'm warning you from the Lord. This is the way the Lord says to conduct yourself. Go ahead, brother.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing.
Yes, sir. Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. That right spirit, sisters and brothers, which is love, which we know covers a multitude of sins. So, sisters and brothers, as always, it was an honor and a privilege to stand before you today and rightly divide the word of God, and I hope that somebody got something from these scriptures.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, bro, that was phenomenal, man.
Praise be to God, bro.
Hey, if I could just add, I just want to add one script to that, and that would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And having that right spirit. You know, it says this. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling of cymbal. Do I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge, all knowledge? Do I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. And I'm skip down to verse 13. Now, abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And charity is the love of God for mankind. Charity is also being lenient in judgment. Charity is not being harsh when it comes to somebody that's in an awkward way with God. So it's just showing mercy. So, or being merciful. So, amen, brother. Great, great, great lesson. Thank you for bringing us back to remembrance. Thank you for bringing us back to a remembrance of walking in that mercy of God. And remembrance where you come from. You know, because if God didn't have mercy on you, you wouldn't even be in the picture. You know, let alone speaking of the brethren and the Gentiles as well. If God didn't have mercy on you, you better check yourself at the door because He ain't got no problem cutting you off, too, if you ain't in the right.
Amen.
Praise God, brother, for all that. You brought a big-time piece, and the Most High, man, hey, I got to tell you, I'm edified on it. So I'm going to yield the mic, and amen. Praise God. Can I be heard?
Yes, baby.
Oh.
We have a whole bunch of people on the line, so ask them to have
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, well. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Because I can't hear.
They're all
their lines are open. Okay. All right. Well, hey, Brother Paul, once again, you dropped the bomb. So what did we say? You got any closing comments for the brother?
Just praise be to God. Stay in the word. And just if anybody ever has any questions or comments, FOTSPM@gmail.com or 708-418-8811. Brother Paul, Fellowship of the Spirit on Facebook and on YouTube.
Amen. And just want to say great job reading, Brother Bob. Excellent, man. Excellent reading.
Amen.
I know my brother be boogieing through those scriptures, but you got them, man. You had them all the way. Amen.
Amen,
well,
brother.
With that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Godspeed, everybody.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.